discussion. Good night, Elena.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, Elena. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. We begin with a report from our youth director, Liz York. Yeah, that's you.
You said Barbara Strand.
Hi.
Brian York?
Yep.
Relative?
He is my father.
Oh, so you can tell the others of us that have met. Yeah,
accusations and nepotism are good.
If you volunteer last year.
Twisted the alarm.
I kind of forced him into it because he struggled. The coach that had done it previous years was last minute, was unable to come back. And I was like, you haven't coached in a while. You love to come coach.
I was going to say that you don't seem to do it.
Yeah. And then he came and he loved it. Not only our staff, but we hosted members of the community to come in and get trained to be valuable, everybody learned a lot, and we are excited to see where that takes us. Some more community engagement. We have a parent advisory committee that started back up, but before COVID, it was kind of building up, and then, you know, obviously with COVID, everything stopped. We're trying to get back on that again. We have some parents that have joined that were in previously, but I didn't put this in here because I didn't know about it. On the 15th, which is this week, at 6 p.m., there's going to be an opportunity to come to the Youth Center and meet with Tyrone and the members of the Parent Advisory Board if you're interested in being a part of that, or if you know a family member or a family of parents who's interested in being part of that. We also know the grandparents and people that used to have kids in the center, but they've aged out, who want to be a part of that, and that's all acceptable too. Their first event that they're going to do is on the 24th of September. They're going to be hosting a movie night, and I'll have some more information on the city website and our social media pages as we get some more details as to like what the movie's going to be and what's going to happen. So, and that's the acronym. We are also looking to host an open house in October. We want to invite families and community members into the center to meet our staff and our programmers and learn more about what we have to offer. We're looking at the 15th and the 22nd of October, which are both Saturdays. We've got a food truck who wants to come and volunteer to serve food at that, and it's a great opportunity to come in now that we've got stuff settled there to meet the staff. We've got a really great staff team right now, and hopefully get a lot of turnout for that. It won't be until after the next meeting, so I'll have more concrete details for you guys at the next meeting about that. But we'll see you guys there. Last but not least, Oakdale updates. So coming fall season is starting to show space at Oakdale. The trails are looking good. The beach is closed down for the season, so there's no more swimming, but the park and everything else it has to offer is still open from dawn to dusk. So hopefully people are taking advantage. And next month we will have our final Oakdale rewilding event at the park, where we work with friends of Oakdale Lake and community volunteers to finish up this year's rewilding plan. I'll have details again at the next meeting for you. We're still settling on the dates and chosen activities. There's a lot to choose from, so we're trying to whittle it down. And that's it.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
Maya, anything you'd like to add?
Nothing further.
Council members, any questions?
Yeah. I'd like to thank you for sending a report on Friday. That was great. It gave us enough time to review it. I really appreciate that. And also, I think it's great that you have the rolling application process for the software, because a lot of parents just don't, you know, only fill out applications sometime. This community, what is it? The community stuff program, right? Yes. Is that something you've been doing every time now? It's a great thing. I mean, it's, I don't know if previous years they used to have that or not.
The restorative justice specifically?
Yes.
So restorative justice is something that was looked into by the previous administration of the Youth Center. All of them are no longer working with us. So it was something contracted that we kind of worked for a few years and we were finally able to do it.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a cool experience.
I want to just thank you and your team again for just the great work you guys do over there. I was over there Friday and had one of my kids over there, and just you just see the energy and just the excitement the kids have, and they're just so free and just the fun. I actually was in there engaged with them as well, hyping them up. So
Friday was a good day.
It was good. It was really cool. I went in there and just want to thank you guys.
Anyone from the public? Okay, moving right along.
Thanks, Liz.
There's no senior report tonight, and because of the Zoom inability tonight, we have no one from fire, though I did get a text message from the commissioner who wanted to let us know that they did not get the grant for the rescue boat. Next up is our treasurer.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say trees, but I don't know if it's a long time.
That's important.
Thank you.
I'm trying, this is pretty short and sweet, let's hear as well. Not much different in the financial reporting front, except that we do believe at this point that the 2021 AUB is complete and no longer draft. I have a meeting scheduled with our fee accountant just to review the last final changes that we made, and then we'll be submitting that to the Office of the State Controller, and I think that's all going to be done by the end of this week, which is great because that really needs to be done before we can start the 2021 audit, which, as you all know, has to be completed, ideally has to be completed by the end of the year. Otherwise, we have to put a notice up on EMRA, which is the Municipal Marketing Board, basically saying we missed the deadline. It's happened a couple times. It's no real impact. It doesn't impact our rating or anything, but you know, we all just rather not have to worry about it at all. And that third bullet point, which I talked about before, I cannot overestimate what a tiny little bullet point means in terms of how much work and time has gone into that, and we're still in the middle of it. So it's been pretty horrific, to be honest with you, but I think we're going to have it done by the end of the year. In terms of upcoming financing, there's really nothing new on that front. I just lit these on because there's still potential upcoming. In terms of resolutions, you're going to see several, none of which are available for tonight. One is, again, for the second year, the fire department is having an issue with their utility expenses. You know, when we looked at the whole common energy thing a year ago, it did seem like it eventually balanced out. I know that the DPW, I'm not quite sure why that doesn't seem to be happening with fire, but if I get a window of time, I'm going to try and take a look at it and just see if there's anything, if it's an issue of timing or if, in fact, they're actually just using more utilities than they anticipated. I believe that your executive session was about the potential new CSEA contract that you'll be voting on. So as part of that, once that is voted on, if it does pass, then we will need resolutions for two things. One is because the salary increases were budgeted, but they were put in contingency because we didn't have a contract in place. So one resolution, or part of a resolution, depending on how we do it, will be to move that from contingency into the individual point ones, or personal services lines of the departments. And the second one would be a budget increase to address the one-time
bonus.
Thank you. A question that we'll have to determine is, it's always been an interesting question because the charter says that non-union members basically get the same coverage as CSEA. That, depending on the attorney at the time, has meant different things. Either department heads automatically get the same percent increase. One year they didn't. One attorney said they weren't necessarily entitled to the increases, but they were entitled to longevity payments. Right now, I think with the exception of one year, all the non-elected department heads have gotten the CSE increases and they earn their longevity. So I assume that's going to be the same case. The one-time payout's an interesting question, so I'm not sure how we determine that. It's probably a discussion between the BEA and Elena. You're also going to see a budget amendment to fund a revised cost estimate update for the ADA compliance for City Hall, something that we've been working on for years pre-COVID. The estimate that we had at the time, I think it goes back to 2019, and clearly everybody knows what has gone on with, you know, the cost of construction and construction materials. So Peter Bujanow recommended it, and I think the DEA all agrees that it would be most prudent to get an updated cost estimate so at least we have an idea of magnitude of what we think it might come in at when we bid it, because if the assumption is that it's not going to come in near what we have in reserve, then we're also going to have to determine how we're going to fund the balance of that as considered an appropriation because the council has authorized for that. So that be the kind of thing that we're looking for, most likely, depending on the magnitude of it. Another one just relates to the sewer fund, but they received a $50,000 grant to do some sewer planning. So we just need to do a budget amendment to the sewer to recognize the incoming grant revenue and the expenditure to go out and do that study. And again, I'm not sure where that MIA grant is that we talked about last month, but my understanding from Rob is rather than doing a bond amendment right now, we're going to wait and see if we actually get, if we win the application, in which case then we'll have to immediately do a bond resolution. At least for short term for the borrowing of the money, and then we can assess how we want to, how much of it we want to actually pay out of existing sewer fund balance, how much we might want to consider either increasing sewer rates or reallocating between the sewer and water. Sewer fund balance has actually gone down in the last couple of years because they don't have enough staffing that have the requirements, so they're basically outsourcing it to a consultant. So we've seen a not a significant dip, they still got about $400,000 in there, but it was steadily climbing because of leachate, which is their extra sewage processing that they do on behalf of other firms. But that's just an FYI. Operational, we've got a meeting set up, I think, in 2 weeks from now.
Is that, I was going to ask, is it a Friday?
It's a Friday that starts with a 2.
She called me twice last week and left repetitive messages, so is she okay?
We have these conversations.
I know. I wish you could all have been on the download that Heather and I had. It was...
The important thing is that the meeting that was coming up actually, as opposed to just the account exec, actually will involve their head of technology, who's going to be able to give us some very clear guidance in terms of where they are in the development of the different modules, and can talk realistically about what it would look like porting over it, whether it would be a transitional thing, what's dependent on what, you know, if we do transition one to another, are there extra costs that we might not want to incur because we're going from old software one to middle-aged software two to third new software three all at the same time, it may not be cost-efficient as much as I would like to do it, you know, if we have to do one-time things to make software A.
What is the new software called?
It's still KBS. It's called, I think they call it Cirrus.
Yeah. Cirrus. They're all under that company Springbrook.
Springbrook. It's Springbrook.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They, GoGov, has done 3 of the utility pay integrations already this year and was able to show me what it looks like. It's like...
They did it with KBS?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
So, basically, I'm just saying that to, jumping ahead of what we're hoping to have. It looks really functional, so...
You've already won the GoGov argument, so, you know.
Well, and I think one of the other things that that we're looking to do that I've been wanting to do for a very long time is, for those of you who pay real estate taxes directly here in the city of Hudson, you know you get a bill at the beginning of the month, and there's a report you can pay in 4 quarters, and you can also come in and pay the entire thing off at the beginning of the year and not have to worry about it. Right now with the water sewer bill, you can't do that. They issue them individually every quarter. And we've had many, many people come in and say, you know, I'm leaving for 7 months, can I just pay my water sewer bill so I don't have to worry about it? And the answer has always been no. It also causes a little bit of difficulties, and this far predates me, and, you know, we're not in charge of the water sewer billing, but there's something odd about it where they have to put the penalties on before they're actually due because they have to have time to print out the bills and mail and stuff them. Obviously, that's not ideal either. So... the combination of potentially being able to do that and then having the ability to do it online with GoGo would be delightful for many people.
It's just the idea between paying parking, paying taxes, paying utility, to eliminate the line at that desk and the line at your desk, there's your time back in the day for people.
Yeah. I mean, we do get a fair amount of payments online for taxes, because we do have an online capability right now. Water sewer does not. Yeah. Although there's some weird thing that some random person set up.
If somebody by me put recurring through their bank.
Oh, I do. Yes, I do that all the time. But no, this is a different thing. It was a way somehow check and send it to the city, because that's the only payment that the city takes right now.
And both Springbrook and GoGov confirmed there's no 4% charge, like surcharge, people want to pay a credit card or anything, so like that's going to save us that transaction fee.
We don't pay a transaction fee.
No, now we don't, because a lot of it's manual, but if we were to automate, you know, we could bring in alternative payments.
But even right. Online, we don't pay the customer pays a transaction fee, not us.
It'll be able to wait for the customer, too.
Oh, you're not?
Yeah.
Well, that's for the customer doing that.
Yeah.
How do they make money? Oh, they make money on their fee, right?
Correct.
On a monthly fee.
Correct.
Okay. Foreclosures, we received a retainer agreement today. That's from the mayor's office. Once we get that started, we will get that program started again. I did pull an initial list of delinquents. We're looking at about $860,000 in delinquent taxes that haven't been collected. I think the last time we did this, it was about 660 when we started. And I think it was, I would say, like maybe 86 properties. This is going back quite a few years, because between attorney changes and administration changes and COVID, it all got, you know, put on hold. But I think last time we did this, there was about 666,000 outstanding taxes, and I think about 83 people on the list. We only actually foreclosed on 11 or 12 properties, I think. So part of the process of this is you will receive a resolution once we get the list all finalized that will have all this information on it. So let's see, you're going to see a lot of names and a lot of records, but it does not mean that, you know, that those 140 people are all going to lose their properties. It almost never happens that way.
Can you proceed with the existing foreclosure on Paddock?
That's I did reach out to Cheryl on that before she left. I don't think that we got anywhere with it, so it is on my list to talk to Andy about. So that's a different one, because that's like ready to go.
Right.
That's really, the foreclosure is done. Now it's just, you know,
right,
eviction and taking over the property.
Okay.
So. Budget. They were basically all due by today, so we have pretty much all the department heads' requests. I have not even had a chance to look at them, let alone put them in the KBS to see what the task is. Also know that, you know, when you think about the city and you think about the budgets, we generally think about the departments and what they're asking for, but that's maybe at most half of what the actual expenditures for the city are, because it doesn't include, you know, hospitalization, it doesn't include retirement, it doesn't include Social Security, it doesn't include workman's comp, et cetera, and so forth. So those are all numbers that that we also have to come up with before we'll have know what the big request on that is. Something you guys might want to think about is we've done a couple things a couple different ways, as Tom can say, in terms of how does the council want to be informed? Do they want to have a working session? Do they want to know what's happening with the department requests and the modifications that the BEA made? Do they want, you know, a review once the BEA comes to a, you know, a proposed recommendation budget? Do you want to sit down and review that in detail, either alone or as a group? So just think about that in the back of your head. For those of you that are new and that haven't memorized a charter, the budget has to be finalized by November 10th. So it would be sometime in that span. So just some revenue numbers updated. So we're at basically 67% of the year through, and you can see for the four parking elements that we're at about 72% of budget, but a little lower at 60%, but not too terribly, and that is pretty much related, as you can see by the numbers, to parking tickets. I did send out an email, but granted it was just today, didn't have time, to both the Parking Bureau and to HPD to ask them if they had any insight. You know, is it putting out fewer tickets? Do we have fewer people out on the field? Are they working fewer hours? Are we just issuing as many tickets? What are they lower per ticket cost? You know, more $10 tickets than less $50 tickets? Is the payment, you know, are we seeing a lag in people paying or increase in unpaid, because we don't actually recognize the basically, if you look at where we are, this is through August 2021 versus through August of 2022, where, again, a little below a year ago. But still, compared to, you know, compared to budget a year ago, today, we're actually looking okay. Building and plumbing permits, we've been seeing this for a while, so we're basically at 100% of our budget with 5 months to go, so that's looking pretty good. And we're up about 25% through August 1st here, we're here over that. And honestly, I don't think there's anything new on the sales and mortgage tax.
Okay, thank you, Heather. Questions from the council? The public? Bill?
I'd just like to make a comment if I could. If you're concerned or wondering where the revenue is missing for parking meters and parking tickets.
Not parking meters, just parking tickets.
Parking tickets being meters that are violated, right? I go around occasionally, as many of you know, and just look at the parking meters. First of all, there's so many that are broken because they, except for the ones mainly here on Warren Street, are ancient. Mm. They're all breaking apart. They need to be replaced. Mm. I can guarantee you that's part of the problem.
Okay, and thank you.
My comment, just last comment is, we have to know, who do we talk to about this? It's not a Parking Violations Bureau problem. It's they just handle the money that comes in.
Yep.
Right? So who maintains the meters? What department? Gotta figure that out before we can answer the question, right?
Yep. Thank you, Bill. Okay. Thank you, Heather.
I will say one more thing on the actual parking tickets is I will also point out, though, that 2021 was a bit of an anomaly. It was about 40,000 higher than it had been in any prior year. Mm. So it may be that there's something unusual about 2021, but we'll see.
Thank you. Mr. Perry.
It was remote, so I only have a couple of hard copies.
That's right. It's going to be on the screen there.
Let's see, septic revenue was $40,000, so that puts us closer to making our annual revenue budget. After this month or last month's August sales, we should be pretty much on pace with our budget for revenue. We did have months of dry weather, and then there was a massive rain event on August 30th. So what you see here is this is a great vortex, and so the way it works is the flow comes in from the bottom, goes around this vortex, and comes out high. As the water goes up, the grit precipitates down and falls into. You've got these paddles that keep it kind of fluid, and then there's a pump that sucks it out. Of course, when you get a massive slug load of material, which is a precursor of some kind of a sinkhole or multiple sinkholes somewhere throughout the city, it overwhelms the system. We have to bring a contractor in, the back truck, and suck it out. So you see that's picture two. Go to the next one. We have picture three. Same thing happened in the there's an intermediate wet well. You can see it's the material. Once the grit pump became clogged and overwhelmed, then it started to precipitate out there in this wet well. Three is before the vac truck. Four is after the vac truck. Then we have some of the front street work. Picture five. The reason I circled that is that the green pipe was put in by the capital project to build the sewer plant back in 2011. So we're upgrading stuff that we just put in 10 years ago as part of this project. And, you know, which is kind of interesting for me. I'm ripping stuff out that I put in. Six is just as part of the, this is showing you all the things that are actually in the road that most people don't realize as they're driving down the road. But there's a diversion structure on the left. There's a new manhole in the background, a new manhole in the foreground. That gas main's got to get relocated. The grid's got to come down and re-engineer it to slide it over to cut the section out. So a lot of things happen when we're doing these capital projects. Moving forward to, so the seepage at the dam, just to give you an update, it does continue, but it's increasing. So at this stage of the game, our engineer Colliers is We've put together what their investigation has, what design we have from the original plans from 1904, and we're putting out a little mini RFP, I don't know if it's RFP, but a request for interested parties, contractors to come, and basically we'll give them access to the site and materials and let them kind of present what they think is the best way to address this, and then we'll be evaluating and provide us with a budgetary number so we can figure out how best to, one, investigate, identify, and also to address this issue. So that's going on, you know, now, and will take place during this month. We didn't, you know, just the spillway. It just shows you, you know, that's down below. One of the interesting things is, so this table that's here in picture 9, this is in the original design plans. So what it does is, you know, they calculated, I'm sure using their slide rules and everything else, but it shows how much actual volume is in each successive 1 foot of water at the reservoir. So the first foot, you know, the first foot from 424 to 19 is basically about 5.5 million gallons. The next foot is about 5 million gallons because of reservoirs like this. So each foot has less volume there. What we, so, you know, when we go down a foot, we're down 5.5 million gallons. That's, you know, basically about 5 days worth of consumption. So we still had, you know, 70-some-odd million gallons, so there's plenty of capacity that's there, but obviously, you know, when we're in a situation where we don't see a forecast of rain, we want to make sure that we alert the public, and that's what we did. Then we had a heavy spring storm, and, oh, so this picture seven, that's actually part of the original construction. So before there was such a thing as copper sulfate for algicide, they would turn a valve, and instead of the water going into the back of the reservoir, it would take this T, go into the middle, and it would be a metal plate, and it would actually spray out like a fountain, and that's how they added air to it to try and you know, keep the algae down. And 10 is maintenance, you know, screen cleaning for capacity, and I think we're good for that. So this is the picture 11 is usually totally underwater. That's the Taconic Creek out at the forest we bring the water in. So this is, you know, the height of the drought. There's just a little trickle coming through there. And what you see in picture 12 is the water level is actually below the opening to the gate valve, so it's sucking air, which is, you know, not a good thing. Once the rain comes, we actually bring a pump out there. It's used for pipe cleaning. And we physically force water through there, one, because we want to get those air pockets out of the main. One, because air pockets reduce capacity, and two, because they increase friction, which both of those things together decrease flow. We want flow going to the reservoir. And picture 14 is we have a data logger that I attached to this thing. Just kind of shows as the pump runs, the pressure drops pretty consistently, which is a good sign. It means there's no obstructions in there. You know, as the kind of the slug load of high velocity water goes further down, the pressure decreases.
A bit of science junk.
We've run two water main breaks. One was just by the CSX overpass on Bay Road or South 3rd Street. That's, you know, it's an older main. It's not the first time we've been there for sure. 16 is the intersection of 3rd and Robinson, which, you know, is good because we put in, segues me to the next point, that we did submit the WEA application for the replacement of that section, those two sections of main from Robinson and North 3rd. There is a, the EPA has passed a new lead service inventory requirement for all municipalities, and that's due 2024. So we did put together a engineering grant application for EFC, so that way we'd be eligible. We had to do this process in order to be eligible to apply for it in the future. We'd rather have EFC pay for it than us. You know, basically, we would start out with some document referrals, seeing what would happen in the what happened in a tap book, what records we have. We would, you know, coordinate with whatever dig tickets there were. But a lot of the stuff's just going to have to be done. We would create a clearinghouse where people could take pictures, but a lot of it's going to be a lot of physical inspection. So there will be a certain amount of labor involved with it. Just going to cemetery, dry weather, ground, grass. So although we still have our summertime part-timers on, so in this case, you know, we just had a couple guys going out and working on clearing all the, you know, the overgrowth of the mausoleums. They took some smaller dead trees down. Just, it was something they normally wouldn't get to because in the summertime, usually they're just mowing and mowing and mowing. Prominent Hill update, more railings have come in. You know, we still don't have a wall, so I can't really tell you when. Ferry Street Bridge, you know, it's the ongoing issue of not getting the Amtrak and National Grid to cooperate. So at this stage, we've asked DOT if we can just put the bid out on the streets without that, with the understanding that, you know, we'd have to advertise for a month. It's going to be 6 months before the project could start anyway, with the caveat that we wouldn't actually start construction until this was resolved, but clearly 6 months should be enough for them to resolve their issues. And the NYPA project is advancing. At this point, we do have the conversion packet, which is basically the packet of packets that National Grid sends to us for us to take ownership of everything that's out there, all the 1,000 streetlights. That's an integral part of the process of doing the upgrade. So that's what we're working on next for that project. Okay.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions from council members?
Yeah, where were the photos 1 through 4 of the grid vortex taken?
Inside the Headworks building, the sewer plant.
Down over
on Front Street, yeah.
I just want to say thanks. I know it wasn't part of this month, but I saw the work that the guys did fixing the erosion up on Blossom this morning. Thank you.
Oh, the ditch work up there?
Yeah,
steep hill.
Well, that last storm, so much of it got even away from the ring there. So.
Yeah. Where is this?
On the top of Lawson is basically where you've got the two hills that come together. When it came down, it washed about a foot.
Rossman is where?
Above the hospital.
Oh, right.
So
the Hollywood Hills are passing?
Yeah. So they basically put
very true.
Slope work to basically get the water to drain properly, which is good.
Good. So
thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Oh, go ahead.
We have the time frame for the Front Street work?
We're looking at October. So right now, the stuff that was around State Street, whatever, took a lot longer. But now that that's all done, they're moving. The Columbia Street will be, once they finish between State and Columbia, then they're actually going to come back and repave and do restoration and open that, because the last segment is going up State Street the second. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, the goal is to have everything else done and then out of the way, and then the only thing that will be closed is State Street between 1st and 2nd while they do that 1,000 feet. So.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you, Rob.
We do.
Oh. Sorry, you're a little late there.
Wow, what an
ass. So,
holy Moses, did everybody see the arrogance there? The rudeness? Did everybody see that?
No.
You're okay with that, huh? You too,
next up.
You too?
Well, hi, everybody. Good to see everybody in person.
Yes.
Amazing.
I like it. August was a good month for the police department in a lot of different ways. In terms of crime, major crime. Just for the formality, we did submit the body camera review, which is about 120 random interactions on body cameras. Sent to the mayor's office pursuant to the Section 9 reporting from police reform. You all got a copy of the monthly reporting, which I'll go over real quick. We had one incident of use of force, which was pepper spray, for a person who squirted off with the officers, was going to get violent. No injuries on that one. Hence, there was no duty to intervene. Required in that matter. 43 arrests for the month, which is delineated on page 3. Nothing noteworthy. One of the owners pointed out there was a spike in trespass, that was a violation, and that was attributed to almost one individual who was a woman who was staying overnight in the laundromat in the park and things like this. She was arrested, rearrested. And that's why that's abnormally high. Everything else, as you see, is rather light. No any major violent issues in August, except the end of August, which I'll cover in a minute. 10 emotionally disturbed persons, which is right close. overdoses, resulting in one death. One death was up in the Fifth Ward Boulevard. It was a person just traveling through the city and overdosed and died. We administered Narcan 3 times. One of the Narcan saves was noteworthy and got the officer a commendation. Was in the 7th Street Park. There's an out-of-state woman who was blue. She was practically gone. And Officer Kevin Kaiser, he was able to revive her. So after a couple months of very few Narcans and overdoses, we did have 4 in August with one death.
Didn't we have 0 in July?
Yeah.
We went, like, probably shouldn't have been happy about it or even announced it because our luck's going the other way from the month of August. But Narcan was used. It was used effectively. So we're happy about that. On my agenda for tonight, I just want to give you an update on what the department's up to. We're in the planning and preparing for the homicide trial of the Kevin Whitening, who was murdered in August of 2017. So most of you remember the violence in town. This represents the last of the people that were arrested for that violent exchange. We've been successful in locking up everybody that's been involved in the shootings. All are in jail now. This is the last one. It's been delayed temporarily due to some discovery issues. The defendant's name is Christian Simmons. So we're in a preparatory stage. The guys have been working hard, going over their testimony and making sure the evidence and discovery is prepared on time. So we expect a successful prosecution. I'll wrap up, put a nice ending to what was a very bad year around here. Detectives right now are transporting a parolee back from Buffalo who robbed an American Glory employee on August 28th, threatened the use of a firearm. The detectives located him in Buffalo, and they're bringing him back right now. More recently, I think folks are more aware of is the September 8th mugging, where the second perpetrator was just arrested. So both are in jail.
They got him tonight, right? I think the news, Channel 13 or Channel 10 had a photo of
him. I guess all the pressure, he turned himself in over at the sheriff's office, so we just had to go look him up. So we're happy about that. I don't know necessarily that these two instances are a trend or showing a trend of something for our citizens, considering one fellow had just gotten out of jail perhaps a week earlier. The other individual that did the American Glory employee robbery was not a resident of our town, not a local. So hopefully we'll have any more of that. August 4th was the graduation of Reed Ferris from the Police Academy. I think when you folks meet him and interact with him, you're going to see he's a very fine young gentleman, very respectful and thoughtful guy. That will help start to backfill some of the people that we've lost. We're 4 down in the department, and my budget that's coming up will reflect the request to go to full staffing. And we have one person in the academy right now, so Evan Fouch, who's due to graduate in October. So this is good welcome news, because we can't do stuff without people. So, and also we anticipate some retirements in the next year, so this is a good news for us. On August 23rd, we had a funeral for Joe Powell. Folks that are familiar with him, he's 96 years old. He was a very beloved member of the department. And along with Lou Brenner, who's left, so we had 2 96-year-old police officers. Joe passed on, a very excellent man, and we have Louie left. As far as any, and then the other thing we're doing is we've obviously been getting ready for the budget, preparation for next month or this month, and I just give that out there so there's no sticker shock that no one actually faints when they see what I've submitted, but I'm prepared to go to hearings and discuss everything.
Sharpening my pencil, Chief.
Yeah, okay. I know we got plenty of money. some interesting things on the in my budget. One of them is I'm going to have to do a remediation of lead up at the range, the firearms range, which is something that's in our contract. When we got that property, we got used to that property up there at Paul Russo's. Other than the staffing, I think we'll be ready to have an interesting conversation about the different things in there, but very respectful budget. We try to keep it within reasonable parameters. The thing that under new business that I'd like the council to consider is we need some kind of a legislation down at the public boat dock. We have I'm not talking about the commercial boat dock, which is well regulated, but the other public boat dock at Rick's Point, we have a seasonal problem with boaters coming in and just tying up and leaving their boats there indefinitely. And what that does is it blocks other people from coming in, recreational users coming in for the day. The taxi service from Athens can't get in. So we have the authority of the police to ask the person to remove their boat, or we can ultimately remove it if it's abandoned as some event. But we really need some legislation with some kind of teeth, the ticketing, and if that doesn't work, perhaps a follow-up with removal of the boat or impounding the boat. What's a little, I think, what we have to consider is the city's website has that there's no overnight parking at the top of it here somewhere. There's no overnight docking.
Yeah,
well, so it's on the website, but there's no legislation to back it up.
Is there signage down there too?
Say again?
Signage at all?
There's signage down there that says you can't, but people tie up anyway, and we're constantly removing boats, trying to contact folks. Some of them are unregistered, uninsured. Some of them are legal and everything. Folks just think, well, I'm going to stay here, just tie it up. So we need to have a little bit of...
What do you mean by removing? What are you doing?
So we'll get the person to come get it, okay? Otherwise, I don't think DPW's had to physically remove them yet. They'd actually have to tow it out of there, which could damage the boat, and we don't want that.
It's not here, a boat auction.
I'm willing to sit down with anyone in the council wants to take that up, Mr. President. Sit down. I've looked at different river towns that have different, ordinances. I think it's pretty much around there to figure something out, but it would help us for next season,
Cool.
And I think the only other thing I'm going to add is there has been some of the elders have contacted me, citizens have contacted me about the homeless, the activity in the park with some of our homeless people or mentally ill people, drug addicted people. The means that the police department has naturally will be able to do is rearrest, and there's probably 40 or more pending cases in Hudson City Court that don't give us a lot of leverage to fix the problem. So I will just say that I have a meeting at the end of the month. The new city court judge is trying to establish an alternative treatment court. So we have a drug court, but hers would be Michelle Roberts. She would hone it towards people with mental illness, which would give her a little bit more flexibility to instead of placing people in jail, which doesn't happen very often, is to actually have them sign off for treatment centers, which could alleviate the problem that we see in the park. So I'll be looking forward to that on the 21st. We have the first meeting on that. She's already got a template set up, so I think we can move on that fast. And you'd be better prepared for next summer.
Whatever you like, AOD removal?
Yeah, I think what happens is we would arrest the person, like we do now for either loitering, littering, public intoxication, And then instead of using the means within the penal laws and the CPL to fine them or give them a couple days in jail, they'll actually sign off their sentencing to and then be given certain treatment centers that they voluntarily go to fulfill their obligation.
Right.
It's another way of looking at it. It's another way, and hopefully it'll be successful. And lastly, we did, there'll be a contract here for the mayor to sign, or perhaps you, Tom, I'm not quite sure, for the SRO contract. So the sheriff's cut back on the school resource officers, and given what happened in Uvalde we wanted to keep our SRO, and we've come up with a contract with the Hudson City School District to fund half of the officer's salary. So that will be crossing someone's desk here very shortly, but he is up at the school now for the opening of school. And that is all I have.
Chief, someone on the topic of the 7th Street Park sent me a picture of the regular group who meets in the southeast corner. And there were two very large, not in a bag, bottles of tequila on the... is there any way to confiscate or deal with the actual alcohol that's being...
We take the alcohol from them when we encounter them. We also issue open container citations.
You do take it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah. Folks think, you know, obviously people are kind. They give money and stuff, thinking that they're going to go get a sandwich or something like that. Obviously. So, we'll see.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Council members.
Chief, I did meet Reed. He was very famous guy. I had an opportunity to meet Officer Reed.
Oh, yes, he's good. I think everyone will like him. He's a very thoughtful young man. Nice guy.
Who's coming out from Zone 14?
We'll say again, I'm sorry.
Who are you talking about?
Zone 5. The Zone 5 Academy. Yeah, these guys, they don't go to the local 14 Academy. The last two have gone up to Schenectady to the Zone 5 Academy.
Yeah.
Very excellent police academy. Mm.
Any other questions? Yeah. Bill?
Yeah, Chief. I was in 7th Street Park a couple of days ago, walking through, and I saw one of the regulars there. One of them, revenues, had assaulted me about a month and a half ago. And he had a Budweiser, full Budweiser, big bottle, no bag. Tom tells us that, you know, tequila, we see it a lot. Are your officers doing foot patrols through the park regularly?
Yeah.
How regularly?
I think it was just recently the mayor called in about, we had some kind of event in town Sunday, I can't remember what it was, and they stepped up their foot patrol. They do it when they can. There's no set schedule as to when they walk through. Generally we have two, maybe three people working, so they'll walk through various areas, call out on the radio.
And we walk through a lot too.
So on a typical day, how many officers do you think walk through the park just to make sure things are okay?
Well, what happens is every day, so we have standing orders. If there's ever more than minimum coverage, the person is assigned bicycle or foot. So when we have three people, someone will be on bike or on foot somewhere throughout the city. So that doesn't happen every day, but it does happen on the schedule a lot. Then if we have two remaining officers, depending on the call volume, if they're out of call, obviously they can't do foot patrol. But when they have free time, they do. So there's no set schedule, Bill.
So I'm just curious, if officers that are on patrol in their cars, do they ever get at park and just walk through the park for five minutes to make sure people aren't drinking tequila, peeing in the corners?
They do, as evidenced by the multitude of arrests there.
Hmm. Well, this one guy doesn't have a problem with drinking. I mean, it's like, he doesn't care.
I agree with you, Bill, because, and I was trying to express, we're having a real difficulty with it because they get cited. And they probably rip up their tickets or don't show up, and they understand that they're probably not going to go to jail.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Chief.
I hope you cheer up a little bit. What's going on? It's summer. It's beautiful. Anyway, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, now we got to go to, we don't have a lot of resolutions, and they're pretty simple. And the first one, Mr. Hoffman,
yeah.
If you'd be so kind. No.
Hey. Hello.
Wait a minute.
Which one do you want?
Well, the first one, which is Commissioner of Deeds. Introduction? Okay, we got Ryan, and then Dewan. Okay, next one. The next one is supporting and authorizing an application in round six of the Restore New York Communities Initiative for the Crescent Building Redevelopment Project. This is, you know, as we do. As you know, we often support those who are going after grants, and that's what this is. And someone's here to speak about it. You want to introduce again?
I will introduce it.
And who would like to be the second? I'll give it to Duan since he's already whatever. I don't know if you really need. You want to just give a quick introduction, let people know what it is.
Sure, I did print out this little overview of the project. And
you want to tell us who you are, by the way?
My name is Chris Perrick. I'm working with a team of a few other people, working with Sophie Henderson on grant writing, working with Tim Schroeder to do engineering and code compliance, and also project management. And we have Dan McKay on the team, who's a local filmmaker, and Ian Hay, who's doing most of the capital investment. So we want to bring this building back into use. It's a shell. There's nothing in there. There's no plumbing. There's no walls. There's no egress. So it's a pretty major project. We're going to create a gallery space on the Warren Street side and hope to pair with institutions and give them that space for free. We're looking at organizations like Albany Institute, Clark College, Williams College, to kind of do programming that not only will create interesting exhibitions, but also give local residents the opportunity to get to know those institutions on a first-hand basis. So that's about the first third of the building. Behind that, we're bringing in a video production company, Smother Films, and they expect to bring 15 to 30 jobs. Those will be mostly career-level jobs, editors, assistant editors, directors, some management in the building. They have locations in Los Angeles, New York, and London already, and this will kind of be a new wing that's focusing on a little bit different content. Above that, apartments on the second floor, and those are kind of loft-style apartments that are geared towards artists, so lots of open space. And on the roof, we're looking at a roof addition, which will be an event space. We've been working with SHPO to apply for historic tax credits. So the renderings that you see here will have been kind of, the drawings have been updated, not the renderings. So that the building, if you're looking at it from across the street or from 8th Street, you wouldn't see this addition at all. The addition is going to drop down a little bit, and of course the building is set back from the building. So now you see this green space here. The roof's actually going to drop down a little bit into the second floor, so that the parapet wall will hide all that.
When you said jobs, is that an opportunity for local jobs for people locally?
That would be the hope, is that there would be some job training. They would be a tenant of ours, so we won't have much say in that. They'll be bringing in a team, I'm sure, from their other offices to facilitate this whole thing going. So some of those will probably be new people moving here. But I would expect, you know, as time moves on, that there would be local opportunities.
What kind of mold do they do? I mean, what kind of mold do they make?
Right now, they focus primarily on commercials, and this new wing is going to focus more on feature films and TV shows. So that's what they'll be doing here.
They're very well established.
So we're really excited to work with the city on the Restore New York grant. The cost of the rehabilitation of the building, just simply, there's no way to make it work without, you know, grant subsidies. So, you know, there's just no, the building needs so much work and the cost of construction is what it is, that there's no way that the rental income would offset that as any kind of reasonable investment. So City to work with ESD and also to be working with SHPO on historic tax credits.
Any other questions? Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
We'll be voting on that next week. The next resolution is a donation to the Senior Center from it's attached to them, from the Hudson Rotary Club and from someone named Sue Deha. Introduction? Go on. Second? Vicky. Okay, and lastly, a resolution approving what I think will be the final grant from the Tourism and Events Committee for Hudson Halloween. Introduction? Ryan? Vicky? Second. And Vicky. Okay, that's all the resolutions. Remind you that you we still have those laws that we'll probably be voting on soon. What else? Any other announcements council members like to make? I think Vicky reminded us that Latinx Festival, which is partly sponsored by us, is happening this Saturday.
Where is happening?
1-5
At the waterfront. The waterfront park. And that's about it. As we go down memory lane in a meeting that is not being Zoomed.
Did it happen at all?
Did it really happen? Yes, it's been recorded. It's been recorded. So it does exist.
Wait, when did the Zoom take over?
During the pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah.
In 2020, there was this flu thing.
Oh, yeah.
No, it just feels so boring.
You heard of it, right?
It's like we lost an artery, you know?
Wow.
Motion.
I'm waiting.
Motion
ah. Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, this meeting's over. All right. Okay. Oops.